Morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Great. Why don't I pray for us? Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for his goodness and kindness to us. Please show him to us now. Please, by your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds and our whole lives to him. And please may we accept the teaching and love that he brings for us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to start this morning by asking, has anyone read or seen the film Jamaica Inn at all? Oh, a few of you. Ooh, is it good? I've not read it. Confession. But I'm led to believe it's a story set in Cornwall in the 1800s. Cornwall at that time, a bit of a dangerous place. You wouldn't go there for surfing lessons or to eat cream teas. It's quite a lawless land. And at the time in this story, there was a gang of ruffians, and they were up to no good. They were known as wreckers. And what they used to do is, at night, they used to go down to the coast, down to the very rocky, dangerous parts of the coast. And you know, the wind was whipping their hair, there was salty seawater soaking to the skin. And at the sort of opportune moment, they would light lamps on the coast. And ships out in the sea, trying to navigate around the Cornish coast, they will see these lights on the rocky shores and they'll think to themselves, oh, hold on, that's that harbour we're aiming for. That's where we need to go for safety. And so these ships would be misled and they would change course. And instead of arriving safely in a harbour, they would arrive on these rocks, dash on the rocks and be wrecked. And the wreckers would stow all the goods that they were carrying. So this gang of wreckers would mislead ships to their ruin. And misleading people is a theme in this letter this morning. I don't know what your thoughts about this morning's reading. It's pretty spicy stuff, isn't it? sexual immorality, idol worship, punishment, a bed of suffering, death. It sounds more like a HBO drama, doesn't it, than a reading for an all-age service. I know I certainly found it a difficult read at first. But the surprise of this reading, or maybe it shouldn't be a surprise to us, is that this is good news. This is good news for us. This letter is from Jesus to the church. It's from the bride to the bridegroom. And he wants to encourage the church. Jesus wants to keep us, his bride, safe with eyes only for him. And the big message of this letter this morning is, do not be misled, but hold on. Do not be misled by wreckers, but hold on to Jesus. If you're a visitor this morning, you're really welcome. Just to let you know, as Dan's saying, we're starting a sermon series in Revelation, and we're partway through the letters that Jesus is writing to the churches in Asia. And the church this week, Thyatira, I think is what we're going for, Thyatira, is one that says that they're doing well. If you have a look at verse 18, Jesus says, this is great. You are full of love. You're full of love, faith, perseverance, and service. This is a church that has received the good news of Jesus and is joyfully choosing to follow him. And just like the church in Thyatira, we know what it's like to follow Jesus, don't we? We know all the blessings and joy that are part of following Christ. So I thought it'd be encouraging to share some of those things, to share what we think about following Jesus. So, to encourage each other, I'm just going to write Jesus in the middle. I'm going to have my very able assistant, Dan. So hold that.
Being about the wreckers again.
I think this one doesn't tighten. I can write on here. Right. Oh no, I can't write on there. lights. I thought I was safe not using technology, but wasn't to be. Hopefully. Right. Any encouragements from following Jesus? Shout them out. What are the great benefits? Let's not forget his benefits. Tor.
He's a rock.
Yes. Do just shout them out.
Never alone.
Never alone. Brilliant. Forgiveness. Brilliant. Hope. Brilliant.
Comfort.
Oh, nice. Fellowship. Thank you. Oh, wonderful.
Redeemed.
Redeemed? Brilliant. What does that mean, James? Just so we've been bought, haven't we? We've been saved, we've been brought back to Jesus. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, not our own strength. Amazing. Brilliant, that's a great one.
Loving.
Yes, brilliant. Living God speaks to us. Let's have a couple more. I've got a space down here, I want to fill it.
Good and faithful.
Gives us strength, brilliant. I feel like there's not really a stop in the flow of these. I feel we could go on forever, which is great. Gives us strength. Go on, one more, there's a space here.
Gives us gifts.
Gives us gifts. And Beth, I'll come to you.
Gives us purpose.
Yes, brilliant. Wonderful. Oh, absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for calling those out. And I hope you can see from that, isn't it great to follow Jesus? All these things we have as Christians. Jesus is a loving God, full of goodness. And he went to the cross for us so that we can have this. He went to the cross to take away our burden, our guilt, and our fear. And if you're a Christian today, all these things are true for you. You're in Christ. You're a child of God. Not as James was saying, not on because of anything we've done, but all because of Jesus. Dan said earlier, being a Christian can be hard sometimes, but it is certainly wonderful. And there's an amazing eternal future in store for us. And we certainly wouldn't want to be pulled away from this, would we? But that's what this church in Thyatira was voluntarily inviting. They were at risk of being distracted and misled away from Jesus. Have a look with me at verse 20. Verse 20 talks about a prophetess called Jezebel, who the church in Thyatira had been tolerating. And now her teaching was misleading Christians away from Jesus. So an obvious question is, who is this Jezebel character? Well, Jezebel is a historic figure in the Old Testament. And in the days of Elijah, she led God's people astray. She, through false teaching, she encouraged idol worship and sexual immorality. And so the name Jezebel is a bit of a byword or a nickname for someone who's a false teacher. So like we might call someone a Scrooge today if they're tight with money, you'd call someone a Jezebel if they were a false teacher. And here in this church of Thyatira, there's a person acting like a Jezebel, a person claiming to have new wisdom, new secrets, new deep secrets about Jesus. But instead of pointing to Jesus, she's misleading them away from Jesus. So this Jezebel is like a shipwrecker. She's shining her little beacon on the rocky shore. And for Christians in Tyre, if they weren't sure about who Jesus is, if they weren't keeping Jesus fully in their sights, they could be misled into dangerous territory. If you keep looking at verse 20, you can see for those in Tyre, the risk for them was false teaching that encouraged sexual immorality and eating of food sacrificed to idols. And this is a massive problem for the church. These are things that go against Jesus' plan for us, his good design for how we should live our lives. And it ultimately will mislead them away from Jesus. And the end result of being misled from Jesus is terrible. It is eternal separation from everything that's good, and ultimately from Jesus. That's what Jesus says in verse 23. If I look at verse 23, Jesus says, "I will repay each of you according to your deeds." So if we are misled, if we choose to turn from Jesus, Jesus will, after much patience, after much grace, and after much heartbreak, also turn away from us. So being misled and being distracted from Jesus is really serious. But food sacrificed to idols isn't too common in Banbury. So what should we be on the lookout for? What are the little lights on the coast that might distract us from Jesus? Well, in some respects, we're quite like the church in Tyre, aren't we? We live in a world that doesn't follow Jesus, that ignores Jesus' design for our lives, and in particular, sexual immorality is all around. And I wonder, do we tolerate too much of it in our lives? Are we tempted to watch TVs and movies? You know, they might be five-star reviewed by all the important newspapers. People in the office might be talking about them all the time. But is it healthy for us? Are they likely to mislead us from Jesus? And are we likely to listen to people at work or at school rather than Jesus about what sex should mean for us? A few of you are in Laser, and in the next year or two, you'll be thinking about going to university, and there's all sorts of little shining beacons there for you to be aware of. And apart from sexual immorality, the big one when I was at university was, should you bother going to church? There were lots of people who said, you don't have to be a Christian, or you can be a Christian but don't go to church. And that was a big thing for me at university. And you can feel the attraction of that, can't you? It's nice to have a lion. I like a lion, that's always good. And it's nice to be part of the crowd. Maybe people are going to get brunch or play sport. You don't want to lose your kudos with that group. So maybe I'll stop going to church. It's a little light to look out for. Or maybe for us here in Banbury, is it comfort that we choose to follow rather than Jesus? Is that our ultimate goal in life? We know that as Christians, we should follow Jesus. But if it starts to get tough, if we start to have to make sacrifices, what do we choose? Do we choose to follow Jesus, or do we choose to follow our comforts? All these little lights look so attractive, don't they? I can feel the pull of them even as I'm saying them now. But we shouldn't place them above Jesus. They promise hollow promises that won't deliver. They claim that Jesus isn't as good for us as these other things. But they won't satisfy. They will only disappoint and wreck us. Instead, this is the encouragement. Jesus says, hold on. Have a look at verse 25. Jesus says, hold on to what we already know. Instead of getting distracted by new things, by new teaching, by modern day idols, Jesus says, just hold on to what we already know. And what do we know? Well, you guys have just thrown out all these wonderful things that we do know, that Jesus speaks to us. He is our comfort. He's forgiven us. He is our hope. He is our rock. These are the things that we should hold on to and hold on to fast. We know that Jesus is so much better than anything else. Compared to all these shining beacons that we could be tempted to follow, Jesus is a shining light. He is the light of the world. And all these other temptations pale in comparison compared to Jesus. In Agatha Christie's book, Death on the Nile, there's a character that says at one point, when the sun shines, you cannot see the moon. And I think that's the sort of sentiment that Jesus has here when he says, hold on. When we have a clear view of Jesus, when we direct our gaze at the sun, we can see the other distractions for what they are. They're just pale imitations. You can barely see them compared to the brilliance and wonder of Jesus. Sometimes we can feel overwhelmed in life. Sometimes we can feel overwhelmed by sin. And you can think, how on earth, how can I in Banbury resist these temptations? How am I meant to stand up and not sin? It's a complicated question, but here Jesus gives us a simple answer. Jesus says simply, look to him, hold on to what you have. He is sufficient. So as it says in Hebrews, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the sun so that we cannot see the moon. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and Savior. As it said in the psalm earlier, let's not forget all his benefits. Let's pay no heed or torrents to those who would mislead us. Instead, let's hold on to Jesus. Amen.